Welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
It is truly my honor and my privilege to present to you a message today that's called Rise Up and Build. We're going to talk about building the kingdom of God here on the earth and leaving a legacy that is lasting for generations to come. Are you with me? Now, what I love about the book of Nehemiah, and I'm here today and I'm going to share with you bits and pieces of his story. I don't have time to go through the whole darn thing or we'll be here all week. And I know you got lunch plans because everybody's got lunch plans. If you don't got lunch plans, you better get on it because you're slacking big time. All right. We are here to honor our mamas and you better provide her some food and not make her cook. Okay. All the mamas say amen. All right. But listen, we're not going to get into all the nitty gritty of this book, but here's my homework assignment for you. Can I give you a homework assignment? You're going to go on your own and read the entire book of Nehemiah because it's chock full of incredible truths and revelations that will sink deep into your spirit about how you are meant to pursue the call of God on your life, okay? I can't do it for you. And what a concept that we could go home and read the Bible on our own outside of a Sunday morning. What a concept. Go read it, okay? It's your homework assignment. If you will do it, say I will. You won't regret it. What I love about Nehemiah is that he was just an ordinary man. So many times in scripture, we read about those that are leaders and rulers and kings and priests and prophets and all of these men of stature and valor and all of these things. But Nehemiah was just an ordinary man. Are there any ordinary folks up in here? Hello, I'm one of them. I'm an ordinary folk, okay? I may have been blessed and highly favored to have married into a long line, a long history of minister after minister, generation of generation of people that have pursued the call of God in their lives and served in full-time ministry. That is my husband's lineage that I married into, okay? But me over here. Ordinary, okay? I'm talking like my parents are car salesmen, okay? Ordinary folk. Can I get a witness from anybody else that's lived an ordinary life? All right? I didn't grow up in a household full of ministers of the gospel. I didn't have that honor and that privilege. I'm so excited for my children to grow up in that way that I did not get to participate in. And guess what? God can still use the ordinary man to do extraordinary things. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't count yourself out because you think because you didn't come from that history and you don't have that background that God can't use you in full-time ministry. Yes, he can.
Yeah.
And he will if you just say yes.
Amen.
Just show up. That's all I do. I just show up, okay? I don't know what the heck I'm doing up in here, okay? I just show up. I just let the Lord Jesus, you do your thing, okay? Because it's all about you, not about me. I'm just going to say yes. That's what us ordinary folk, we do. Okay? And Nehemiah was just an ordinary man. He was an ordinary man, and he lived during a time where God's people were once again in exile. Okay? We've seen it time and time again throughout the entire Old Testament, where the Lord's people would return to him and then they would rebel against him, and they would return to him again and then they would rebel against him again. And every time that they would rebel against him, the enemies were able to come in and lay siege to them. They took them into captivity. They cast them out into exile. And Nehemiah is living here in a time where God's people are in exile and the city of God, Jerusalem, it lies in ruins. It's burnt to the ground. It's a heap of rubble and ashes. It's a hot mess. And he's living during this time, and God uses him to not only build back the walls of Jerusalem, which signified that God was establishing his kingdom here on the earth. Not only was he able to do that and build those walls back, but he did it in such a way, in such an adherence to God's word, with such passion and fervor for the things of God, that the people caught sight of that, and never again in the history of God's people were they ever returned to exile. It stopped with Nehemiah. He was able to break a generational curse that had happened for far too long, and for generations to follow, they remained in that city of Jerusalem. Those walls remained intact. And I wonder if there's anybody here today, just some ordinary folk that are looking for God to break some generational curses off of their lives.
Amen. Amen.
put an end to what the enemy has been doing for far too long. Put an end to the cycle of rebellion against the Lord. And from this day forward, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That's what Nehemiah did. And that's why I love him so much. It's like, oh, if he can do it, I can do it. You can do it. We can do it. We're going to build the kingdom of God here on this earth. And we're going to do it in such an incredible way that it's going to leave a legacy that is going to last through generations. Through generations. Never again will the generations that come after us here at the sound of my voice as Focus Church, never again will any generation of Focus Church or those to follow after them and follow after them, never again will they be brought to a place of exile, because we today, as a church family, are committing to the call to rise up and build. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Well, like I said, all that the Lord is looking for is just a resounding yes. That's what he found in Nehemiah, and I hope today that that's what he's going to find in you. That's all it takes is just a yes, the passion and the fervor for the things of God. And we know that Nehemiah was passionate about the things of God because when he received the news of Jerusalem still lying in a heap of rubble and God's people still remaining in exile, we see in the first chapter of Nehemiah that he is on his knees weeping and crying and praying and fasting. He is repenting on behalf of the people in the sins that they have committed. He is repenting before the Lord and he is asking God for great favor in rebuilding those walls and establishing his kingdom here on the earth. We see the passion rise up within him. A passion and a burden for God's people that were lost in exile. And we pick up here in the second chapter of Nehemiah. After we have gone through him weeping and fasting and crying and praying, he then rises to his feet and he brings a challenge to the people. He brings a challenge to the people and he says to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come. Let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision or ridicule or mockery or shame." And I told them that the hand of my God had been upon me for good. The hand of our God is upon you for good, church. You need only to say yes. And here's the most miraculous thing of all. In one accord, in one voice, all in agreement, which is a miracle all in and of itself when you've got that many people gathered around you, they all collectively said this, and we're going to say it together as one church today. Come on, read it out with me. Let us rise up and build. Come on, Southside, say it like you mean it. Let us rise up and build. Westside, I can't hear you. Let us rise up and build. Church right here on Destiny Drive, let us rise up and build. Are you ready to answer the call of God on your life today? Now listen, as we move forward and he begins to put things in motion for them to rebuild the walls of God's city, his holy city, the symbol of his kingdom being established here on the earth. As he moves forward with these plans in the third chapter, you're going to see something astounding. And I think I love it so much because it reminds me of our church. Right here in this room, if you look around you to the left, to the right, at all of our locations, look around you to the left and to the right, you will find people of every age and every stage, every race, every demographic, every financial status. We are here in one accord. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Nehemiah. When they get to work on building the kingdom of God, you will find in that third chapter, there are rulers of up to half of the nation working side by side with those who are slaves. There are priests and there are prophets working side by side with goldsmiths and blacksmiths. There are sons and there are daughters that are joining in the effort, male and female, young and old. It did not matter. They were all in one accord with one purpose in mind, to build the kingdom of God here on the earth. Nehemiah understood this well, that a house divided would not stand. And so the only way that we as a church family are going to build the kingdom of God here on this earth in such a way that it leaves a legacy that lasts through generations to come, the only way that we're going to accomplish this call of God on our lives is if we rise up and we stand in unity together. In unity, God can use us. In unity, the call of God can be accomplished. In unity. Now listen, he went out and he got a plan together. They start to get to work on the building of God's kingdom. And how many know it takes a plan to put that many people into place and position? It takes some planning. It takes some game work. It takes some hustle. It takes some grind. It takes some mapping out of some things. It takes some working out of some things. So he put together this plan. And are you guys ready for our plan for how we're going to rise up and build the kingdom of God here in our city?
Yeah.
Come on. Pastor Ed on the South Side, our South Side campus pastor, he will call you out. And he said, well, we're not going to just talk about it. We're going to be about it. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to be about it. We're going to be about it, okay? And so here's what we're going to do. In order to build the kingdom of God here on this earth and leave a legacy that is lasting through generations to come, this is our plan. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The first thing that we need to do is respect the ones that have gone before us. Respect the ones that have gone before us. This is a challenge to the youth. This is a challenge to the youth of our church of this day and age. And before you start eyeballing every teenager that is around those seats in front of you and behind you and beside you, let me just remind you that we are all a youth to someone, okay? Point your finger right here. I'm talking to you. She's talking to me. We are all a youth to somebody. We are all a youth to somebody, and we all need to learn how to respect the ones that have gone before us. Here we see it in Nehemiah when he approaches the king after weeping and crying and fasting before he sets the ball in motion for the building to take place. The king says to him, "Why is your face sad, seeing that you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." And then I was very much afraid. And I said to the king, he rises up in the face of fear. Notice that. Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." Notice, he gave respect and submitted to his earthly authority, even though he had a call of God on his life, right, to build the kingdom of God here in that city of Jerusalem. He submitted himself to his earthly authority. There is respect that is shown here when he says, "If it pleases the king, oh, king, live forever." He didn't have to acknowledge him in that regard, but he showed respect because why? It's what God calls us to do in his word, all right? You may have a mission and a vision and a purpose and a plan and all of these things in order, but just because you have a mission does not mean that you have a mandate. And let me explain it to you this way. When you have a mandate, that means it's written in stone. That means you already have the authority to do whatever it takes to accomplish that goal. But listen to here, the word of the Lord gives you a biblical mandate that you are meant to submit to the authority in your life. And it says it right here in Romans 13, 1, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. It's time to rise up and show some respect to the ones that have gone before us. And I hate to say it, but we're seeing way too many tails wagging the dogs around here. And what do I mean by that? Parents, you have allowed your children to take claim to the God-given authority that he has placed on your shoulders to lead them, and it's wrong. It's out of order, it's out of alignment, it's out of the will of God for their lives and yours, and it is time for you to rise up and take your God-given authority to lead your home in the ways of the Lord. Because here's what's happening. Here's what's happening because of that. We're seeing a generation after generation rise up, having staked claim in their own homes, thinking that they have the authority to do whatever they want, however they want, decide where they're going, what they're doing at all times. And it's transferring over to their walks with the Lord. It's transferring over to how they interact with our heavenly Father because they're not submitted to their earthly Father. And this is what happens. The first time they make a request to God and he doesn't do it their way and on their timeline or doesn't fulfill it at all because it's not his plan for their lives, guess what they're doing? They're leaving the faith. They're leaving the church. They're throwing in the towel. And let me just tell you this, in case you needed a reminder, in case you needed to remember the sovereignty of God, he does not bow to our commands. We bow to his. It's time for us to rise up and show some respect to those that have gone before us. It's time to rise up and show respect. And listen, some of you, we're using this excuse to not show respect and not show honor because maybe the earthly authority that is above you is not submitted to the Lord themselves. And some of us, we use that as an excuse. We don't have to honor them. We don't have to show respect to them. They don't know the Lord. That's wrong. It's wrong. Amen. That earthly authority is placed in that position in your life, and they're placed there by God. Amen. And don't you know that there is always something for us to learn? There is always something for us to glean. It is up to us to receive a word from the Lord. In those times where we are submitted to an authority that is not honoring God, there is something for you to learn. He's wanting to show something to you in that moment. Yes. And he's asking if you'll rise to the occasion. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone put you down because you are young. Teach believers with your life, by word, demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post, reading scripture, giving counsel and teaching. And that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, just like we did this morning for our young people, keep that dusted off and in use. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. Then people will see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. I am wondering if there's any God-fearing men and women of God that are ready to rise up and set an example to all believers and all non-believers of what it means to be fully submitted to the will of Christ in their lives. And I wonder if you would just take a moment to show some respect to the authorities around you, that their minds might be captivated by the behavior that they don't often see in this world, that their minds might be captivated by the way that you show them respect and show them honor because it's not happening in any other scenario in their lives. And I just wonder if they might experience salvation through the life that you live and the way that you respond to them and the way that you show honor and the way that you show respect. Come on, I feel like I just need Aretha up here to preach this through with me. I need some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Come on. We got to show some respect. You got to rise up and show some respect to your grandparents, to your aunties, to your uncles, to your brothers and your sisters if they're older than you. You got to show some respect to your father. And guess what? Most of all, you best be showing some respect to your mama because she fought with every fiber of her being to bring you into this world, and you better rest assured she can take you out of it just as quickly. Come on, all the mamas in the house. I'm backing you up. Listen, where are the yes ma'ams and no sirs and yes please and thank you? Like, just use your dang manners, y'all. Use your manners. Am I helping anybody today?
Yeah.
Come on. We must respect those that have gone before us. And the next thing that we need to do is we need to invest in the ones coming after us. Invest in the ones coming after us. And this is a challenge to the elders of the church. Now, again, we are all an elder to someone, okay? So point your finger right here. Say, the word of the Lord is for me today. This is a challenge to you. And investing in the ones that are coming after us, it may look like serving and focused kids so that they may know the word of God and stand on the truth of the word of God. It may look like serving in focused youth and serving alongside of these students and being there to be a shoulder that they can cry on and to lead them through times of confusion and chaos when they don't know what's happening in the world around them. It may look like someone mentoring and investing in a young entrepreneur that's launching out his business for the very first time, and you have established a very successful and prominent business and you're able to give him the tools to find that same success as you have. Yeah. it may look like those that have been married in this place for over 50 years, investing time into those that are newlyweds or on their way to be married, letting them know, being an encouragement that they can make it.
Amen.
That may be those priceless investments that you can make into the next generation and those that are to come. But let me tell you this. This might ruffle some feathers. But I think maybe what might make the most impact of all in your investment into those coming after you is if we learn to give up control.
That's right.
Good. Oh, ain't nobody saying nothing up in here. We gotta learn to give up control. I'm talking to the elders of this church. Everybody's an elder to somebody. We have to learn to give up control. Now listen, I have teenagers in my house. And things get a little crazy when we're going through a time where we're trying to teach them how to drive.
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, my gosh, y'all, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Okay, I'm sitting there, and I'm in the passenger side seat. Anybody taught a child how to drive before? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there in the passenger side seat, and I'm, like, pumping the brakes. And I'm, like, trying to steer the steering wheel. And I'm, like, trying to take control, but I literally have no control because none of those functions and tools are in the passenger side of my car. I don't know about your car, but I have zero control, and I'm literally like, Jesus is taking the wheel this time, like for real, okay? We got to give up control because how many of you know they would never learn to drive if we were the ones with the wheel in our hand the whole time?
Right.
It's impossible. It would be impossible for them to ever learn how to do it on their own. We have to give up control. And it may not look like what we want it to look like or sound how we want it to sound, but we as the elder generation need to make sure that we relinquish our control. What we think, what we hold tight to, there's too many churches and ministries with leaders that have never given up control, and they're dead and they're dying churches all over our nation and all over this world because they weren't willing to pass the baton when it was time for the next generation to take control of the wheel. That will not be this church.
Yes.
It will not be this church. It will not be our focus family. We partner with the next generation. And listen, it's not my job to just sit in the passenger seat and say nothing. Okay? I would be dead. We must give guidance to those that are coming after us. As a matter of fact, Psalm 78:4 says this, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, and about his mighty wonders. It is time for us to rise up and invest in those that are coming after us. Hear me say it, church, we will relinquish control because these students and every student that is to come, they have been placed and marked by God for this moment in history. Yes. Did you know that? God formed them and shaped them and put the ball in motion for the plan that he had on their lives. He knew exactly in which day and age they would exist. And he has equipped them with tools to build the kingdom of God here on this earth and their generation that he has not equipped us with.
Right.
It's not the call of God on our lives. We're meant to reach our generation. And how dare we stand in the face of those that are trying to reach theirs? They've been appointed by God. They've been called by God. They've been anointed by God. And here at Focus Church, we will stand in the gap for the next generation, for them to have hands-on experience. Because like I said, we're not allowing students to lead us in worship. We are partnering with them, yeah, side by side in ministry, believing in the call of God in their lives, that they will answer the call to full-time ministry. I don't care what kind of family they came from. I believe in the call of God in their lives, and nothing will stop them from accomplishing that in this church and in this house. We invest in those that are coming after us. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, the next thing that we need to do in order to build the kingdom of God here on this earth, first of all, we respect the ones that have gone before us, and then we invest in those that are coming after us. But we also need to stand boldly against the enemy. We stand boldly against the enemy. Immediately after Nehemiah rallies the troops and the people of Israel to join him on this mission to rise up and build, and it's exciting because they're all standing in one accord. Immediately after, He's facing opposition. Don't you know that's how the devil works? Okay? You're going to say yes to the call of God on your life. You're going to say yes to God today. I believe it. In Jesus' name, he's going to call you into ministry. But immediately after you make that decision, guess what's going to come your way? Opposition.
Yep.
The enemy knows exactly what he's doing, and this is what he does. Come on, let's go back and reread this in the second chapter of Nehemiah. Let us rise up and build, they all said together. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and they despised us. And they said, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Now listen to this response and take note, because it is exactly the example that you need for how to face the enemy in your own life.
Come on.
Then he replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build.
Yeah.
But you have no portion, no right, or claim in Jerusalem. Let me tell you this. Nehemiah may have been an ordinary man, but he was a man of God's word. And I can't help but think that he had spent time in the word of God, sharpening that sword of the spirit that is the word of God, and recognizing this truth, hiding it deep in his heart. Because here's what Isaiah 54:17 says. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Is that not exactly what he just did when he counteracted the attack of the enemy? He had that truth hidden deeply in his life and in his heart. And don't you know, in the very next chapter, those same enemies, because they don't ever stop, the devil ain't ever gonna quit on you, okay? You gotta stand guard at all times. The very next chapter over, they're getting to work building up the wall. And guess what happens? The enemy comes back to attack them. And this time, it's so fierce that they're fearing for their lives and the safety of God's people. And so this is what Nehemiah says. We aren't going to stand for that, okay? And here's what we're going to do. We're not going to cower back in fear. We're not going to allow the enemy to get a win and stop the work of the Lord that's being accomplished by the building up of these walls. No, 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 no. Here's what we're going to do. Y'all over here on the east side, you guys are going to stand guard against the attack of the enemy, okay? You're going to be armed and ready for whatever comes our way. We're going to fight that battle. And y'all over there on the south side, you guys are going to get to work with your hammers and your forks and your knives and all the things that they used for building in ancient times. I have no idea. But you're going to get to work readying yourself to build up the walls of God. And you on the west side, guess what? There's something for you to do too. There was a third group of people that were able to carry such an immense burden and such a passion for the things of the Lord that this is what Nehemiah had them do. With a sword on their side and a hammer in the other side, they were armed and ready with one hand, and they were continuing the work of the Lord in the other. And I wonder if there's anybody in this place today at the sound of my voice that is armed and ready to not only be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. It's both and. It's simultaneous ministry to be one that hears the word and applies the word as we build the kingdom of God here on this earth. But what's happening is we're so busy doing the work of the Lord that we have forsaken knowing the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't find yourself to be so busy working for the Lord that you don't know the word of the Lord for your life. Because here's what's happened. Do you know who knows the word better than anybody else around here? The devil. He straight up knows the word better than you, better than me, no better than anybody else on the planet Earth. I promise you that. And that is why he is so masterful at manipulating and perversing scripture to make it applicable to how he wants you to live your life, and it's wrong.
Yep.
And if you are not armed with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, if you're not armed and ready, hiding these truths in your heart that you might not sin against him, this is what's happening. The enemy is coming in and he's sniping out generation after generation, believer after believer. He's sniping us out one by one because we're not standing armed and ready with the word of God and the knowledge of the word of God. We have to hold these truths in our hearts so dearly and so passionately that when the enemy comes to infiltrate our camps, he doesn't stand a chance.
That's
He doesn't stand a chance. And I want to tell you this. I wholeheartedly believe that the only reason why Nehemiah was able to put a stop to that generational curse of rebellion is because when they were finished building up those walls and accomplishing the work of God, he pulled out the word of God. He sat everybody down. You're going to go read this on your homework assignment, right? Yep. Southside, your homework. Chapter 8. He sits everybody down. And he pulls out the laws of the God that they have built these walls up for. He pulls out the word of God. And not only does he recite scripture to the people of Israel, but he commands that they acknowledge that they've heard and received it. Are you hearing the word of God today?
Yes.
Do you hear the word of God for your life today?
Yes.
Do you understand that it is your assignment to grow in knowledge of the word of God and hold these truths in your heart? He made them acknowledge that they understood. And I believe that that is the only reason why for 400 years until Jesus walked the face of the earth again, that those people of God never again saw the attack of the enemy. They were able to stand firm in their faith because they were firmly planted in the word of God. They were armed and ready for the enemy to come their way. Are you armed and ready for the enemy to come your way, church? Are we going to build a kingdom of God here on this earth that is lasting through generation after generation? We have to rise up in our knowledge of the word. If you're with me, say, let's rise up and build. Now listen, this is the last plan, the last piece of the puzzle for us as we strive to build the kingdom of God here on the earth. And we strive to leave a legacy for generations to come. The last piece of the puzzle is that we need to earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
Earnestly contend for the faith. In Jude, it says this, "Beloved, although I made every effort to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt it necessary to write and urge you to contend earnestly for the faith entrusted once and for all to the saints. For certain men have crept in among you unnoticed, ungodly ones who were designated long ago for condemnation. They turn the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ."
Come on.
You have a call of God on your life, and it is your assignment to contend earnestly for the faith of which you stand. And we see Nehemiah do this. As the enemy comes against him, as every obstacle is thrown his way, he stands firm. Do you know what it means to contend earnestly for the faith? What does that even mean? Anybody know? It means this. It means that we take our commitment to Christ and his church seriously. And we strenuously and fervently adhere to the truth of God's word, fighting against every opposing ideology. We take our commitment to Christ and his church seriously. We will be a people that builds the kingdom of God here in this earth. We will be set apart.
Amen.
We will not bow to the world around us. We will rise up and build what has been lying in ruins for far too long, church. The foundation of our faith, we must contend for it, no matter what comes our way. In the beginning of Nehemiah's story, we see a little bit of a glimpse of his determination and the zeal, and the fervor for the things of God. As he heads out to Jerusalem, before any of the work has begun, before he's challenged the people, this is what he does, knowing that there's already opposition coming his way, knowing that if he's out in the light of day, that he will probably be killed. They're going to call him out. Everyone is against him, trying to stop the will of God being done through him to build the city of Jerusalem up. And so in all of his determination, we see him on the third day of his visit in Jerusalem. On the third day, instead of facing that opposition in the middle of the day, he is so determined that he goes, and it says he arose in the night. He arose in the night to go examine the land, is what the word says. He arose in the night to go examine the land on the third day that he was following the call of God on his life. And if y'all don't know where I'm heading right now, you need to spend some time in the Word of God. Because this is an example. The parallel is so significant here. Because the ultimate contender of our faith, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't you know he rose in the night on the third day? He rose up from that grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave from forevermore. He is the one that laid the foundation of our faith that we may establish the plan to build the kingdom of God here on this earth. The ultimate contender of our faith rose on the third day. Never to be conquered by the enemy again. Yes. And he has asked all of us at every location. He has called us all. He has called us all to contend for the faith on which we stand and not allow those that are living in immorality to come and deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. We stand for the truth. Here at Focus Church, we stand on the Word of God here at Focus Church, and we will contend earnestly for the faith that we stand upon as we strive to answer the call to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have all been called, you have all been qualified for that call, and now it is our time to rise up and build upon the foundation that Jesus Christ laid in place for us all those years ago. Yes. He was the ultimate contender of our faith. He set into motion the plan that we needed in order to build his kingdom here on the earth. Are you ready to rise up and build, church? Are you ready to leave a legacy that is lasting from generation to generation? Are you ready to build up your knowledge of the Word of God? Are you ready to pour into the next generation, invest in those that are coming after you? Are you ready to show some respect and honor to those that have gone before you, receiving insight, receiving wisdom, and drawing those who are apart from God into relationship with God through your character and your integrity and your respect? Are you ready to rise up and build? Are you ready to stand firm and stand boldly against the enemy when he comes your way? You have a call of ministry on your life. And it may not look like standing on a platform and preaching a message. It may look like saying hello and opening a conversation with your next door neighbor. It may look like not pulling into your garage before you get out of your car so you can avoid any interaction with the human beings around you. It's time to rise up and build, church. It can't remain here with us. There's a generation that is lying in ruins and lying in rubble, and we are meant to build the foundation of their faith so that they can no longer and never again return to a place of exile. Are you ready to rise up and build? Can we stand to our feet at all of our locations? If you're ready to take up that call of God on your life, all of our locations, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I know you hear this a lot, but we do this intentionally. We ask these things of you intentionally so that nothing would be a distraction or a hindrance from those that are seeking to come into relationship with Jesus. We take this moment seriously. And believers in the room and across all of our locations, I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to earnestly contend for the faith of your neighbor sitting around you. I want you to begin to earnestly contend for the faith of those that you know that have not yet entered the kingdom of God. I want you to earnestly contend for the faith of those that are in need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, lift up your voice and begin to pray. This is your call. This is your mandate. This is your mission. We will be a house of prayer. Begin to contend for the faith of those that are in need of Jesus. Now, the sound of my voice today, if anything that I've communicated today has resonated with you, where you know that you have been apart from the Lord, where you have not put your faith in the Lord, where you know that you have been manipulated to believe a truth that is not truth, that is a lie from the enemy, and the way that he has perverse scripture and used it against you. If anyone at the sound of my voice is struggling and wrestling through life because you're not armed and ready with the word of God, because you do not know God for yourself, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is the opportunity for you to come into relationship with Jesus and experience the salvation that we talked about earlier. Experience how he can set your feet upon a firm foundation when you feel like everything around you is shaking. This is your moment for him to make that foundation firm. So at all of our locations, with no one looking around, and believers are contending for your faith right now. If that is you today and you are ready to commit your life to Jesus, if you are ready to take it seriously, if you are ready to see God transform your life like you never dreamed possible, if you are ready to bow to his command and submit to him as your heavenly Father because you know that his ways are higher than your ways and he is good and gracious and loving to see you through. If you are in this room today and you are ready to make that decision to follow Christ, you are not alone. We are here together with you, standing in the faith with you, side by side. We will build the kingdom of God together. If you're ready to make that decision, I want you to slip your hand into the air. Right now, at all of our locations, slip your hand high in the air. And right now, praise God, praise God. Right now, at the sound of my voice, hands are going up. People are making the decision to follow Christ at all of our locations. Keep that hand raised until you receive a little white card in your hand. This white card is going to give you instructions on how to take your next steps in your journey towards walking with Christ. At all of our locations, keep those hands held high until someone has placed that card in your hands. Glory to God. Glory to God. Church, can we celebrate those that have made this commitment to Christ right now in this moment? Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. We love you and we honor you. And this commitment that you are making is going to change your life together. And you may make this decision by yourself, but you don't have to walk it out alone. We stand with you hand in hand. And together, we're going to pray this prayer. Say it out loud for your neighbor to hear. God, we love you. We honor you. We are submitted to you. We acknowledge that you are our heavenly Father. We acknowledge that you are sovereign. We acknowledge that you are in control. And today, God, we put you first in our lives. We believe that you died and you rose again. And we accept you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, let the foundation beneath my feet be unshakable and unwavering as I learn to walk in your ways and fulfill the call of God on my life. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those one more time at all of our locations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's just one more group of people that I want to make sure to pray over today. One more group of people that I want to earnestly contend for the faith of. And that's those of us in the room here on Mother's Day that may not have your children sitting next to you. Maybe they are far from the things of God. Maybe they have turned away from the truths that you have tried to instill in them as children. Or maybe they are sitting here with you today and they don't know, but they're about to experience Jesus in a way that only he can do. But we're going to contend for the faith of those that have walked away. We're going to contend for the faith of those that are questioning the truth of God's word. They're questioning it. They're blindsided by things of this world. Church, Focus family, let's contend for the faith of those prodigal sons and daughters. Let's believe together fervently and passionately that they will return home to the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come before you contending for the faith of those that have walked away. We believe that you are a God who has set their plan in motion from the beginning of time. You know exactly where they are at in this day and age. You know exactly what it is going to take to bring them to their knees. And we ask God that you do that right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, wherever they are at in their walk with you, that you would remove every obstacle, that you would go against the enemy's attack on their lives as we stand in the gap. Contending for their faith. We cast out every distraction. We cast out every hindrance. We cast out every obstacle. We cast out every lie that the enemy has spoken into them that has caused them to stray. And we pray right now that those prodigal sons and daughters will return to the kingdom of God. They will return and they will place their lives in alignment to the will of God and your purpose and your plan. And we will stand and witness the glory of God revealed through their testimony. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, if you are grateful for the word of God and his truth, let's give it up for Jesus today. God is so good.
Thanks again for joining us, and thank you to those who give generously to make the ministry possible. You can click the link in our description to give now or visit givetofocus.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, share it with your friends, and while you're at it, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories and tag us at MyFocusChurch. We'd love to hear how God is speaking to you.